It was Christmas Eve, and Jane was wondering if she'd been a little misguided in her notion to host 138 of her closest friends, people she barely knew but who had formed close attachments to one, other, or both of her offspring, and a collection of people she was used to seeing in a soggy and half-naked state on a regular basis at the local swimming baths. The house was so full that Father Christmas could have shimmied down the chimney, stripped down to his fur-lined boots, and danced the lambada with a tinsel boa and seven mince pies stuffed between his ample cheeks, and no one would have been any the wiser. Jane squeezed past the hordes of merrymakers, ducked under the outrageously ostentatious Christmas tree, and made a beeline for her husband, who was telling a very animated account of one of the many times he had saved the family from a festive disaster.
"Well, you see, what they'd forgotten was that there are four cylinders on a standard MGB, but on an MGC, it has six."
Sean smiled expectantly at his rather bewildered audience, rather proud of his storytelling prowess.
"Come on, you dull buggers. How do you think they could pull a Christmas tree out of the rear end of..."
"Sean!"
Jane broke through.
"Yes, darling?"
said Sean, immediately closing his eyes and running through a checklist of things that he might have been in trouble for in his head. But since his fly was done up, nothing had been spilled, he hadn't sworn, and none of his religious jokes had made an airing, with his eyes still closed, he confidently gave his wife a big and slightly alcoholic kiss.
"Sean!"
said Jane, with a staccato firmness.
"Yes, dear?"
Sean said sheepishly.
"Put that woman down!"
"Oh," said Sean, going a festive shade of crimson.
"I'm terribly sorry. You must have swapped places. I swear she wasn't there a moment ago. She's fast as lightning, that one."
"Sean, Morag is 97 and has been in a wheelchair for the last 40 years.
Said Sean, looking for an escape route.
"Don't worry, Jane. Morag looks like she enjoyed herself from that grin on her face. We aim to please..."
The six glasses of red wine being more responsible for his words than Sean's higher thought processes.
"Sean, Morag has Bell's palsy. Her face always looks like that. Fortunately, it looks like she's gone to sleep."
Turning to the guest, she said, switching to hostess voice,
"I'm so sorry about this, little man. Help yourself to the buffet."
Jane, not having had the benefit of a bottle and a half of wine, thought it best to remove her husband from the scene, and out of the gaze of the horrified onlookers.
"Come on, Sean, I need your help in the kitchen,"
she said, pulling at his arm. Not liking the sound of helping in the kitchen at all, Sean drunkenly wrestled out of her grip, saying,
No, I haven't finished my story."
But the audience, including the sleeping Morag, had melted into the crowd. There was a quartet of brass players playing Christmas carols in the corner of the crowded hall. Jane did a sweep of the area, looking for items that could cause a nasty mark on the carpet. As her radar-like eyes swept back across the crowd, she was just in time to see a foot disappearing into the bell of James's tuba whilst he was playing. The sound from the tuba became a little muffled, but James carried on playing in the ensemble with a slightly perplexed look on his face, determined to see Silver Bells through to its bitter end. Not really understanding what she just saw, Jane squeezed her way through the dense crowd, topping people's wine up and flinging vol-au-vents at empty plates as she went. As she approached the band, she nervously peered into the business end of the tuba and saw, to her surprise, a tiny elderly man stuck head first in there. Jane signalled anxiously at James to stop playing, which he took to mean play louder and more provocatively, which he did with gusto. Fortunately, the end of Hark the Herald was approaching, and on the final note, the brass-bound captive managed to slide his way to freedom.
"Sid, what the hell are you doing in there?"
said James incredulously.
"Oh, I was looking for my pineapple chunks,"
Sid said, cheerful as ever, producing a slightly squashed Ziploc bag with a yellow mush at the bottom.
"Dear God, man, you could have suffocated."
"When I look back on my life," said Sid, "I will count my time in your tuba as one of my fondest memories."
Jane was distracted from this heartfelt scene by the doorbell. She could see a kerfuffle as Olivia opened the front door. From across the densely packed hallway, Jane saw her daughter throw her a look that said, "I'm in desperate need of being rescued," as two unwelcome and uninvited guests waltzed into the hallway with gate-crashing swagger. Jane turned to her husband, a carefully bullet-pointed list already burning in her mind on how to deal with these uninvited additions.
"And anyway, how could you possibly get a tree that big in the back of a TR-6?
Sean was continuing what he saw as his duties with aplomb.
"Sean, stop boring these people talking about cars."
"I'll have you know that I was enlightening these people with a fascinating discourse on the history of festive motor vehicle activity in this family," said Sean, closing his eyes and feigning an aloof look.
"Get a life," came the affectionately impatient reply. "Right, Sean, go into the kitchen."
Stand back, I'll play it on the piano,"
Sean said to the room at large, clearly not listening.
"Sean, go into the kitchen, make sure everyone has a drink."
"She'll never forgive you if you bought her those golf clubs for her,"
Sean said, still not listening.
"Go into the kitchen and make sure everyone has a drink," Jane said with menace, digging her nails into her inattentive husband.
"Then clear all the plates from the conservatory. Don't look now, but Doris and Kevin have just turned up. I'll keep them in the hallway as long as possible, while you make sure the Smiths and Evanses haven't seen them. Got that?"
Jane turns to her husband.
"Gloria Hosanna in excelsis,"
Sean sang with rather more gusto than he should have, waving his arms like an epileptic conductor. Despairing with her inebriated husband, Jane grabbed her son and daughter, briefed them on what they could and couldn't say, and pushed them in the direction of Doris and Kevin. Jane turned around just in time to be too late. Sean had staggered over to Doris, looked her up and down, and was saying,
"Hello, Doris. That's a beautiful pair you've got there. Are they new? Kevin, is that the cat on your head, or did the hair transplant not go to plan?"
Jane was about to dive in, but looked around the packed house filled with people enjoying themselves. She picked up a glass of dry white wine, popped 4 ice cubes in it, and looked over at Sean talking animatedly to the uninvited guests, totally unhindered. She smiled to herself and said, "Bollocks, it serves them right."